Hi, this is the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
The Bible Talks is a show that discusses deep theology in a simple way.
So if you're interested in the Bible, but don't consider yourself a theologian, this is the show for you.
We always like to begin each episode with a little bit of fun, so Heather, let's get started.
All right. Welcome to episode 19 of the Bible Talks.
Episode 19.
Today is a fun one.
Yes.
We're talking about an aspect of marriage, which we'll get into, the five love languages.
Yeah, we're excited. This is one of our favorite books from a Christian perspective on marriages, relationships, communication, which is core and key to any good relationship. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that today. I'm excited about that.
All right. But before that, we need to talk about something just light and fun to get us going.
Yeah, okay, a little bit of fun here, and because this could get very serious. We're talking about marriage, and obviously we don't get along well. Those who listen to our our episodes understand that we're struggling ourselves. So before we get into this deep concept of marriage, let's have a little bit of fun. Heather, what question? Now, I'm never prepared for these, right? You just come to it and...
Right.
Right. So tell me what it is.
Okay. If you had to gain 15 pounds, what would you eat to gain the weight?
If I had to gain 15 pounds?
Yep.
So we're not talking
doctor's
like muscle.
Orders.
We're not talking like muscle.
Nope.
Just like that, because that's hard weight to gain. I've got friends that are very thin and trying to build muscle.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we ain't building muscle. We're
That's not
we're
easy.
So adding
just
the
gain,
flab.
Just,
yeah.
Oh, I know exactly what your answer
flab
is.
Flab on the abs.
Okay.
I have several answers.
Okay, pizza and ice cream.
List.
Pizza and ice cream. Like, that's it. Pizza, ice cream, pizza, ice cream, pizza, ice cream.
Pizza's not on my list.
Pasta.
It probably should be.
Oh, my word. Yeah, I could talk about this all day long.
Are those yours? You're not saying pizza for you, are you?
Yeah,
you
pizza and ice cream.
You don't like pizza that much.
I love New York style pizza.
Really?
And all kinds of pasta.
Because it seems like we want pizza all the time. You're like, no.
Well, that's because
no.
I don't want Domino's every day. I mean,
Domino's,
not Papa John's. Papa John's
love
every day.
It.
Every day, Papa John's.
Good.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You and your son could eat Papa John's every single day. Is that true?
We could, yes.
Yuck.
I love it. So,
but I want
say,
real pizza.
And what kind of ice cream?
Bluebell, but they don't have it in Las Vegas anymore.
But you would go Bluebell.
Yeah,
we miss it. Bluebell, if you're listening, please come back.
Chick-fil-A. Right. I'll take Chick-fil-A too.
Okay, so you're going to add that to your answer. What kind of Bluebell? What
yes.
flavor of ice cream?
You've worn off on me, Heather. I like chocolate.
You like chocolate now?
I do, but you know what?
I didn't know this
pralines and cream
I
is still my favorite.
Pralines and cream because it's your favorite.
Pralines and cream is still my favorite.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you know what? No, if money is not an object, I'm going straight up to Baskin Robbins every day.
Yeah, money's
it's
no
more
object.
More expensive, but yeah.
Really? So you're going to get that?
I love Baskin.
I like Baskin Robbins. But
I love it. Or a
like
chocolate
if I could have Bluebell, Bluebell's better.
From Dairy Queen, I'm getting really hungry.
Rolled ice cream's good, too. You
I've never had
that
it.
Yet.
No.
I've had it with the kids. It's,
I know.
I've had
you
twice.
And the children are always having fun with that.
So
me.
Good. All right. Mine. Here's mine. And I eat this when I go to Alabama or to Tennessee to visit my dad. In fact, I had to start using Temperance because I found out I would get there and it would just be ridiculous how much I would eat this like three times a day. So I had to start making
cream.
It that I fast at one meal so I can enjoy the other one. Like
yep.
I literally have Slim Fast at my dad's house just so I can have the barbecue that I want.
Oh my
So
word.
I'm talking about, here's the meal. You get a tall, cold glass of ice, Dr. Pepper. And then you get a barbecue sandwich, pulled pork, my friends. You get, there's so many different sauces you could use. I have a lot of favorite barbecue sauces. Then you get the chips, okay? And I used to always go with Golden Flake, which is an Alabama chip, dill pickle. But since then, I've gotten hooked on the, is it Frito-Lay that has the limon, the lime chips? Have y'all had those? Oh, my word.
I've had them.
They're my favorite chips. In fact, I don't ever buy them because, first of all, my son will eat them before I can even have any. He just will eat bags and bags. I have to watch him. But me too. If I get into them, it's hard to stop. Those lime chips, they've got that acidic sweetness. Oh, they're so good. So those are the chips.
Mm.
And then you follow it up with Bluebell. Bluebell is so good. And I'm going to get chocolate. They actually had a chocolate-covered strawberry one for Bluebell. It was a special edition like around Valentine's Day or it was June Bride or something.
I think
and
it sounds gross.
It was chocolate ice cream. and it had like chocolate covered strawberry candies.
I don't know.
And fudge ripple in it. It was amazing. It was so, so good, y'all. So any kind of Bluebell or Maggie Moo's. There used to be Maggie Moo's in Henderson, and they closed.
I would
if you live near a Maggie Moo's, you need to go to it. If it's got a cow on it, it's probably going to be good ice cream. Cows know how to make ice cream. Bunnies don't. I said it. Blue Bunny, you stink.
Yeah, Blue Bunny is like some kind of a ripoff of Bluebell.
Stick
I mean,
chocolate eggs. You're no business meddling in
I
ice
agree.
Cream.
I agree. I've tried it, and it's not a happy time.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what
go.
I would do.
Well, I'm glad we got that settled. And I hope that at some point we have to gain weight so we can live out this fantasy.
Now, look, if we have to gain weight...
I've never been told I need to gain weight.
If we have to gain weight...
my dream.
If we have to gain weight, at least we'd still be happy. Why? Because we understand the five love languages.
Oh, that was a nice segue.
Thank you. I've been working on it since last week.
That was beautifully done, sir.
The five love languages really do... allow any relationship to enter into that realm of joy and peace and really a great communicative relationship, right? And
yeah, so, I would say it's a good tool. Right. I would say it's not going to fix all your marriage issues. I do a lot of counseling for married couples and premarital counseling.
Yeah.
Love premarital counseling. We always talk about this. We talk about this book in premarital counseling. It is a great tool to understand. And I would say it goes beyond. We're focusing mainly on marriage, but just so you know, it really does go beyond just a marriage relationship. If you're single or, well, I guess it's only single or married. Those are the two options. You're one or the other. But any relationship you have, you can use these principles
right.
in showing
you
that person
use this
love. You can use it
your,
with your children.
With your children. So if your child has a specific language, then you speak that to them. And that's
and
what
I'm
the concept
save
comes
you some
to.
Money. If you decide to get this book.
Yes.
You don't need to get the others. I know in the author, bless his heart, he's not going to like me saying this, but here it is, folks.
Gary, if you're listening to this, she doesn't mean this personally.
It's not
but
personal,
this is what
Gary.
She has to say about
but
your writing
we
overall.
We didn't need the other books, okay?
Right.
So I tried to read the
Gary,
one
Gary, it was
for
a money
children.
Grab, let's be honest.
I tried to read the one for children. It's one of the few books I never finished because as I'm reading, I'm like, okay, if you have half a lick of sense and you've read the first one, you can apply it and figure out what your kids' love languages are.
But overall, fascinating book and
yes.
probably one of the best we've
great
ever read
principles.
In relationship to marriage.
And the whole gist of it is that we all speak a language, the
yes.
language of love. And many of us...
But there are different dialects or different languages
yes.
within the language of love. And these different... one of the problems is two people might be loving each other and they might be trying to express that love, but they're speaking different languages. For example, if somebody has the love language of gifts... and throughout their entire life, they've received gifts as an act of love from their parents. And the way they like to show love is by giving gifts to people. Now they're married to someone, and the way they show love is by giving them a gift. So it's their birthday, or it's 2 months after their birthday, or whenever it is, they're giving gifts to show that they love. The problem is, the person they're married to, they don't speak that language. Gifts are not important to them. Instead, they want words of affirmation. They want to hear how great they've been doing and to build them up. And so here, this poor man, he's giving gifts to this woman, and she doesn't see that as important. And this woman looks at him and starts saying kind words to him. And you're doing such a great job, and you're doing great, and I'm so proud of you, and I admire you. That doesn't mean anything to him, because what he wants is gifts. And normally, the language we speak to others is the language we speak to and want for ourselves. And so
now,
there's the concept.
An interesting point the author makes is that often when we're dating, we will speak, we'll be multilingual. And many times we'll
speak out.
All five just because we're so focused
right.
on that person and whatever. We will speak typically all five of these. We'll do all five of these things that we're going to discuss. But then when we go and we get into the busyness of life and the relationship deepens,
right.
we often
we
go back to our language.
Back
it's not
to
that we quit loving the person. It's just we've defaulted to
right.
the language
just like you
that
would,
we speak.
Just like you would in your own. You may speak three or four languages, but that takes a lot of work mentally. And eventually you revert back to your first language, the language you grew up with. And so whatever language that is, you need to be aware of. But most importantly, you not only need to be aware of your love language, you need to be aware of those around you. And I think that's one of the most interesting caveats before we get into it, is that so many times you get to something like this and people are fascinated about figuring out their own personality, mm-hmm. their own temperament, their own love language, that they're sitting back saying, thank goodness I know how I receive love. and that's not the point. It might be good that you know, but it's even more important that you know what the love language of those around you might be.
Yeah, and the Bible talks about that. One of the biblical principles we see for marriage is this idea of, I guess you could say, learning.
Right.
Or discovering that person's needs and wants. So one of the verses I think about is that the Bible says that the wife should reverence her husband. She should show honor to her husband.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that we can show honor to our husbands, ladies, is by caring about him, finding out what speaks to him, and in a sense, like Christ, laying down our life for him, putting down our desires instead of asking him. So often we say, he should be doing this for me. He should be laying down his life for me. Well, that's not love. Love lays down its life for the other person.
When the Bible talks to the wife, it does talk about honoring and respecting. And in fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, are not afraid with any amazement. There's this idea of reverence and honor. And by the way, Abraham's wife called him Lord. I haven't heard you call me that lately.
You probably won't.
Yeah. So what is this? Is this just an analogy? And then we have to take the principle and apply it to our lives.
I think so. I think that's the correct interpretation.
Right. So here's the concept. But in the very next verse, it says to the husband, likewise, ye husbands, that is in the same way, you husbands are to dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. So what's one of the ways that the Bible talks to the husband? The Bible talks to the husband and says, give honor to the wife. How? By dwelling with her according to knowledge, getting to know her. And one of the things we know about men and women is that we're all so different from one another. Mm-hmm. And so what might work for one woman may not work for another, hence the concept of different languages and how a husband can show honor and obey what the Bible says simply by learning the language of love.
Mm. So as we go through the different languages, you need to be asking yourself, if you're married, what does my spouse speak? What is their love language? I would say you can think about other relationships as well. If you have children, it's fun for our kids, it took them to getting to about the age of 8 or so before we really started to see their love languages show forth. So it's a little harder to pick out in younger children. But I mean, in your teenagers, what communicates love to them? In relationships with the church, a lot of times you see a person doing one of these quite often. That's their love language. You will know how to minister back to them within the family of God.
So let's talk about them.
Let's do it. The first one, it's words of affirmation.
Yeah, words of affirmation. These are words that you can use to affirm someone else, right? To make them feel more at peace, more at rest, more secure, more satisfied. We're looking for, the human heart is constantly looking for what? Security. The human heart is constantly
acceptance
looking
and
for
validation.
Acceptance and validation. And someone who is looking for this tremendously really feels loved when somebody is speaking those words of affirmation into their life. Mm-hmm. Everybody feels loved when somebody speaks words of affirmation. Yes, but somebody who has the love language of words of affirmation feels extremely loved. This is the primary, most important thing in their life, to hear others affirm them.
I would say an example of this is your parents. This is something I admire so much about your mom and her role as a wife. I have watched over the years as Dave and Anna, you know, were with the family, as they communicate with one another. And my father-in-law's love language is words of affirmation. It's something that means so much to him. It's very dear to him and makes him feel very valued. And my mother-in-law is so good at just pouring on the words of affirmation to him. He is the best at everything. And she means it, like with all her heart. She has convinced herself this is
true. Your father is the best preacher that has ever been. Your father, when he goes to this place and speaks, he's so good. Your father is so patient with people. Your father is the best leader. And we've heard this so often, we started to believe it. but more importantly, my father began to feel it. And so he feels incredibly connected to my mother. Why? Not because they've been married for 40 years. You find people that are married for 40 years and they're not connected to each other. They do not communicate well. They don't express love. But he feels so connected to her. Why? Because I think, as you're saying, she speaks his love language by filling him up with words of affirmation constantly.
And it is so much fun as a younger couple. It's fun for me as a wife to watch her and to really watch him when she does that. You know, because even with some of those comments, I mean, I'm going to be honest, some get a little over the top, ridiculous. But and he'll try not to kind of acknowledge it too much. But you can see him. You can see his body language change. You can see him kind of glance over and smile a little bit like, well, you know, your mother. But like it means something to him that she is speaking that. And of course, words of affirmation don't just have to be spoken. This is a person that writes a long love letter, that writes out a card, that sends that text that speaks well about that person. So there are many ways that words of affirmation can be presented. But the whole idea is that you're speaking those words to one another. One cute story. I know this is about marriage, but I have to share this with our children. One of our children, this is her love language. And we play games at our family table at dinner. A lot of times they're talking games, communication games, want our children to communicate. And we want to prime the pump sometimes with silly games so that they'll begin talking about other things with their day. We had a game where we would take turns going around and telling something good about everybody at the table. So everybody say something they love about Daddy, and we go around and say that. And then we say something we love about Jonathan, and everybody says something about Jonathan. And then you end it, if you play this game, you end it with, we have an empty seat at our table, and we say, okay, the Lord, that's his seat. Everybody say something they love about the Lord. Well, when we played this game, Josh and I got so tickled, because the other kids, I mean, they're doing it. It's fun. It's nice. You always like to hear nice things about yourself. But this one child, our middle child, Savannah, it is her love language. And she just almost got ridiculously giddy. Do you remember this?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I mean, she was just about to go berserk when everybody was talking
crying.
About her.
She's 12 years old, though, yeah. So she's going through a lot anyway. But she's weeping at the idea of, Jonathan said I was pretty. And she's
she drank in. You could just see her soaking up like a sponge. She was drinking everything that everyone was saying about her. And it was so sweet to watch her family getting to fulfill
someone with the love language of words of affirmation is highly sensitive toward criticism as well.
That's
so
a good point.
If the person needs to feel love by being affirmed, they're going to feel hatred by feeling critiqued or criticized. Even if it's well intended criticism, even if it's valid criticism. So emotionally, you're dealing with somebody whose gift is words of affirmation. And emotionally, you feel like you need to critique or you really need to correct. What's going to happen often is that it's going to be even worse for them. And it's really very difficult to help this person sometimes because critiquing them, you have to be very, very careful.
Yes.
Lest they feel hate, lest they feel the opposite of love.
Choosing your battles, going to most battles in prayer, does a lot more in any area when we need to see a change in our spouse. We cannot change them. Only God can change our spouse. So going to God in prayer about that. But when there is an issue that needs to be addressed, I think you need to remember a concept from another book. It's the idea of the love bank. And it's the idea that if you're going to make a withdrawal, have a bad interaction, you better have had a lot of good interactions that make them feel loved, that have built up that relationship before you have that bad one. So I would say if there's something you've got to address that's a criticism with a person of words of affirmation, you better make sure that you have spent much time over the week and months praising them and investing love in them with words.
So the first one is words of affirmation, and maybe that's you. The second one is what?
Acts of service.
Acts of service. Now, how would somebody feel loved through an act of service?
Well, I can speak to this one because this is my love language. Acts of service, I would describe it as, in a sense, it's a thought that counts. It shows that you did something. You didn't assign somebody to do something. You did something for me that showed that you knew where I was at. It was empathetic and you cared about me and you did that for me.
Right. Actions speak louder than words for this individual. You may say nice things, but really that doesn't mean anything until you've done something. So you've done something that went out of your way to accomplish these things. Acts of service.
I say a lot of times it's thoughtfulness. So, for example, when I was a little girl, on cold mornings before my dad would drive me to school or even to church when we were all going to church as family, my dad would go out on the cold morning, and we lived in the country, so it was safe to do this. He could crank up the car and let it warm up while we were inside getting ready. I wouldn't recommend doing that if you're in the city, especially in Las Vegas, your car will get stolen. But he would do that. He would think of us and he would make sure. So when mom and I got in the car.
Not in every neighborhood.
Well, I wouldn't risk
this
it.
This is a nice city.
I think it's a foolhardy thing to do in any city. It's not a comment on
I'm gonna
Las
try
Vegas.
It. I'm going to try it from now on.
Don't.
Every morning I'm going to turn on the car
then
about 6 o'clock.
Leave the garage closed and don't let it run for long or I'll die.
Wait, hold on. So you want me to leave the garage door closed, turn on the car for 30 minutes, send the kids out.
30 minutes. It doesn't take that long to warm it up.
I'm very confused.
But the whole point of this story is that it was something that always I never thought about till I got older, but it was something that made me feel very loved is the fact that my dad thought of us and did that thing for us. And it was something we needed. It was something we were about to get in the car and go somewhere. So it's not necessarily to me, an act of service is not necessarily that you're bringing something I don't need, okay? But if you know I'm having a tough day and you bring me a coffee. I've had ladies do that. They say I'm having a tough day and they'll bring me chocolate or something. Meet a need. Come and help me with something. That is very much it. Do the dishes. Men, your wife is having a tough day. She's got a lot on her plate. She comes home and you've already done the dishes. Now, I'm going to give a caveat here because I want to help you guys out, you men and ladies. If your partner's love language is acts of service, it doesn't count if you're a great delegator and you assign somebody to do that.
The idea is, it's not that it's done. So for some people like me that are bottom line people, the idea, it got done.
I took care of it for you.
No, the way they feel love is they see that you suffered to get it done.
I love how you put that. This was very personal.
They want to see, right? And they want to see.
No, it's true.
They want to see that you, by the sweat of your brow, accomplished this personally for them. It's not the bottom line. It's not the bottom line that it got accomplished. It's that you were the one personally who got it done, and that it took you time, energy, and resources to get it done.
Yes. So I would say, for me, that's the love language. I would sum up for
this is the love language that is sadistic.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Just kidding. It's the one that wants to see that they feel loved because you've gone out of your way to show love rather than just speak love.
Yes. So on a busy morning, offering to drive the kids to school, you know, so that you don't have to. My husband does that for me.
Or the bed.
It's beautiful. Or making the bed. Yes, it shows that we're in this together.
Who made the bed this morning?
You made the bed this morning.
Oh, I did it because we were going to be talking about this.
Did you really? No, you did not. You didn't think through that. But it really is true that it, for me, and I'm just going to express, I can talk more about this one, like I said, because I understand it. So personally, it's for me, even like this morning when you made the bed, or we've been dealing with some things with the kids, and you've gotten highly involved with some help with homework. And I can't tell you the unity that it creates between us, that I feel like we are in this together. I'm not working and trying to accomplish this on my own. We are together. And it's such a unique feeling and a very bonding and loving feeling towards me.
Right. So Heather's love language being acts of service speaks to my love language, which is words of affirmation, when she acknowledges, I've seen that you've done these things. So then both of our languages are being spoken at the same time. Here's an idea of acts of service. Consider actions such as cooking a meal or setting a table, emptying a dishwasher, vacuuming, changing the baby's diaper, picking up a prescription, keeping the car in operational condition. Mm-hmm. They are all acts of service. They require thought, planning, time, effort, energy. And if done with a positive spirit, they are indeed expressions of love.
And you did that last night. You helped clean up some stuff. I was having to help with a homework project. Right. And my husband came to me, hugged me, and said, "What can I do?" And, you know, I wasn't offended that he asked. So don't be offended if they don't know what to do. But I had a project that I was going to have to stay up. I couldn't go directly to bed. I was going to sit in my bedroom and do it. It was cleaning a couple vases. And my husband did it. And actually did a better job than
I've ever
done.
And you might be thinking to yourself, well, they should know what act of service, because there are vases in our bedroom on the floor. I walked by those all day and I had no idea why those were there. I assumed you wanted vases on the floor there. Yeah. But it wasn't until I said, what can I do to help? And you were kind enough to tell me. Mm-hmm. You say, you know, clean those vases. And I started cleaning them, and that meant a lot to you.
And it was huge for me in the fact that you took care of that and we were able to actually go to bed together. So don't be offended if your spouse asks. Don't be afraid to ask your spouse for acts of service. And by the way, Josh just mentioned mentioning what you like, especially what he said there is so powerful. If they met a need, let them know. So, you know, I love that you did this for me. It doesn't have to be acts of service. If it was words, I love that you wrote me that note. It meant so much to me. Let them know what is communicating with your heart, what is touching your soul, and that will go a long way.
Now, for some people, receiving a gift is what makes them feel most loved.
Yeah. This one is one of my least two, my bottom two. So this one's a bit harder for me to understand. I've read about it. I do know that it's, in a sense, again, the thought that counts. So from what I understand, a gift doesn't have to be that you bought something. It can be something that you thought of and you made for them. So I'm going to tell a story on a relative because I believe this is acts of gift. My brother-in-law, Neil, when he and Charity were dating, I think it was the first time he had told her he loved her. And I hope I'm not sharing a personal family secret here, guys. If I am, I'm too far into it. We got to continue on.
Here we go.
And so they were up on the mountain at Mount Charleston, I think at a church event. They were serving the church
together.
And he
gave her a stick.
he took a stick home, not that day. I think that's the first time they said, I love you. He took a stick home and he carved the date in it and gave it to her later. Yeah. And she has told me how precious that is to her.
It's actually a really sweet sentiment.
Yeah. Now, to a person who does not love gifts, it'd be like, I mean, I'm not being mean here. It would be like, why are you giving me a stick with a date in it?
Right.
What am I supposed to do with this?
Right, receiving gifts. So here's the idea.
So it doesn't have to be expensive.
Somebody who has the language of receiving gifts and they feel love that way, I think the idea is that they're physically holding something in their hand. Mm. And they can say, look at what they did for me.
They thought
he was
of me.
Thinking
they remembered
of
me. Yes.
She remembered me. And so for them, they would for somebody with that love language, they would say it's so much more tangible than these other gifts. I can physically see it. I can put it up in a shelf. I can pull it out and remember. Mm. And so the gift itself is a symbol of thought.
I've heard of couples that when they travel quite a bit, the husband will be on a business trip, for example, or the wife, and they bring home every time that person's favorite candy bar. Or favorite barbecue sauce, we'll go to that, from that place. And it's like, I love that while you were on business in a way, you thought of me and you brought this to me. And it just means the world to some people. And again, it's not about the expense. It doesn't have to be an expensive gift. It is that you thought of me.
Right. And somebody might be saying, well, I'm not a gift giver. I never received gifts growing up. That's not how, but I think that's who my spouse is or my child is or my friend is or whoever. What do I do in that? Well, see, you've just taken the first step to really understanding what love is. Love is not figuring out what you feel and what you want. It's figuring out others and what they need and what they want. And so you're going out of your way to show them and demonstrate love based upon what you know that they need or desire. So that's the idea of receiving gifts. So far, what we've discussed of the five love languages, words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, and then there's quality time.
Quality time. This one's interesting because I've actually counseled couples where the wife is frustrated because, and the man is frustrated because he's like, I've provided all this stuff for her. I worked. I got this house. I've given her everything she needs. She's able to put the kids in the school she wants and put them in lessons she wants, and she's still unhappy. And she says, I don't want all that. I don't care that I can get any car I want or any necklace. I just want him to spend time with me. I've heard women say that.
The key phrase here is undivided attention. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about time where you're sitting there watching Netflix together. We're talking about time where you're sitting together and with undivided. That means your attention is solely on her, not divided between her and the children or between him and Pinterest. Mm-hmm. You're focused undivided upon him.
Yes, and that could be as simple as taking a walk to the park.
Right.
You know, it's the idea that we are spending time together.
The person who feels quality time as a language of love understands this idea that time is a precious commodity. There's only so much of it. And they are very keen and aware of that idea.
Yes.
So they're attuned to this idea. They only have so much time and they're purposefully spending that time with me. And because they're spending that time with me, so ministers, for example, if a minister is a pastor of a smaller church, when I say smaller, between 80 and 150 people, oftentimes they will attract people whose love language is quality time.
Very interesting.
Because as a pastor, he's able to give quality time to each and every one of those congregants. And then sometimes those congregants will move on after the church grows beyond 150 because he's unable to show or demonstrate that love to them in the way that he was able to before. He just doesn't have enough time when the church is at 250 members. So that there's this aspect of how people receive that love and how they're drawn to certain maybe organizations or more churches or small groups or whatever it might be, quality time. They see time as a precious commodity, and when you spend it on them, they feel that love.
I just began another premarital counseling session with a couple this week, and it was interesting as they talk about things they want to replicate or duplicate from their parents' marriages, which they saw up close growing up. Both of them kind of hit on this aspect of quality time. Now, I'm not saying that's their love language yet, but I bet it's in one of their top two. Because, for example, the bride-to-be was sharing that her family would always, she loved that her parents always made time for family. They would go on camping trips. And I said, what made that so special, for example, that camping trip? She said, well, just that they put everything aside. They didn't bring work with them.
Yep.
They put everything aside, and it was just about us. And
she's
we spent
speaking
time
of quality
together.
Time. Undivided attention, which leads us to our very last one. Our very last one of the five love languages is physical touch.
Now, a lot of women may be thinking, okay, I get it. He's talking about sex. He's talking about us having intimacy together. That is not what physical touch is. Physical touch is reaching over and holding hand. It's scratching someone's back, rubbing their head.
So my little daughter, Scarlett, is huge into this. She just wants to be touched. Mm. And when she's being touched, she feels love. Mm. When she's not being touched, she feels down. So you could tell her she's the most amazing person, but she already knows that.
Yeah, she's quite confident.
Words of affirmation, not that important. You could give her gifts. She's getting gifts. She doesn't care about gifts. Quality time. None of these things really matter to Scarlett compared to physical touch. So she needs to snuggle. She needs to feel our hands together. She needs to get her back scratched. And so there's no better way in this person's mindset. There's no better way. Nothing speaks more deeply than touching someone. Mm.
And I have to say, this is one of your top two. This one, for those of you who are young mothers, let me give this shout out to you. If your husband's love language is touch, you're really going to have to get your mind around this, and you're going to have to pray that the Lord will help you with this, because sometimes when you've been with children all day, you've been holding people all day. They've been tugging at you. The last thing you want when your spouse comes home is to touch somebody. You want to be, just give me a minute on my side of the bed. Let me just sit here. You know, don't put your feet next to my feet. Just get them away. And you have to really think about, okay, this is a chance to show love to my spouse. I remember years ago when we were first married, learning that I could put my efforts into things and spend my time doing things for Josh that didn't mean as much to him, or I could find out what really was accomplishing more. So I'm going to tell a story. In fact, I tell it in premarital counseling.
Oh,
you never
no.
get to hear this.
Oh, no.
So I
Here
don't even
it
know
comes.
If you know what I'm going to share. But our very first Valentine's Day as a married couple, or maybe it was our second, because we were out here working at Liberty. And my husband was a children's pastor. He was the youngest guy on staff, so already a little bit nervous about that. And Valentine's Day was coming up. I wanted to do something special for him. I remember a teacher in high school who showed us on Valentine's Day what his wife had done for him. He had opened up his briefcase, and he had shown us his wife had like tricked out his briefcase. It had hearts coming out of it, pictures, love notes. Like, it was an explosion of love when he opened his briefcase, and he was so proud of it. It meant so much to him. So I thought, I'm going to do this for my husband. And I spent all this time planning it.
Oh, boy.
I sneaked into his office at night, and I decorated that little office. I had a dancing monkey on his desk. I had hearts coming from the ceiling. It looked like Cupid had thrown up in there. And it was just this beautiful spectacle that I was so proud of. In a sense, to me, I'd say maybe that'd fall in acts of service. I was thinking of him doing something, maybe a little bit into gifts. Definitely neither of his love languages.
Should care less. In fact,
so,
I was annoyed.
Yes, I came in the next day. I love telling this to couples. I've got to get the picture because I have it somewhere. I've got to get the picture so I can use it in premarital counseling. I have the picture. I came in that next day, see how he liked it. And he was very sweet. Josh, you were so kind. You didn't say anything about your disappointment. And you tried to hide it, but it's there on your face. And I didn't realize it till I was much older and wiser, and I go back and look at this picture. But he is sitting there at his desk with hearts everywhere, a little embarrassed as the youngest staff member that he's got this ridiculous office, and he's trying to, you know, be mature and work in ministry, and it just is annoying to him. And you could just see on his face, he is not feeling loved in that moment. And I realized, you know what, I could spend all this time doing this thing, even acts of service. If I went and picked up his dry cleaning, doesn't mean that much to Josh. But if after a long day, I'll reach over and start to rub his back and scratch his back, oh my word, you can just feel his emotions, his emotional response as I do that. So it's a big deal. You are being very wise if you are learning your spouse's love language.
The great thing about this is if it is physical touch, it doesn't have to take a lot of forethought, and it doesn't have to take a lot of time.
That's true.
So it does take a lot of energy. That's the problem. So it's going to take energy, but not thought and time. You don't have to think through, oh man, how am I going to touch them?
Yeah.
And how much, or how much time. It's really just taking some energy to say, okay, I'm going to show them love in this physical way that needs to be.
As we're walking along, I'm going to intentionally grab their hand. Yeah. You know, so there is some intention behind it. But a very good point with physical touch.
Okay, so let's end this with asking this question. What is your primary love language, and what is your secondary love language, Heather?
Oh, we're answering it?
Yeah.
Well, I already said my first one is really acts of service. That's a big one for me. I talked a lot about that. The secondary, I think it's words of affirmation. Honestly, no offense here, but if you send me a card and you just sign your name, I'll read it, I'll smile, and I'll throw it in the trash. I really just, it doesn't mean as much to me, even though some people I know spend a lot of time really picking out the card. To me, it's still not quite your words. But when someone takes the time to write a note out to me, and they're very specific, it's not just thank you for all that you do, but they get specific. You touched my life in this way. I keep it. It goes up in my closet. I save it. So I think words for me is probably my secondary one.
And I would say for me, probably physical touch would be my secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And words of affirmation would be my first for some of the same reasons you stated. I feel loved in those ways. And I also like when people give me gifts, do stuff for me, and spend time. quality time. I don't have enough time to spend with all the people I want to. But you know what's fascinating to me? When you're thinking, well, what does it have to do with the Bible? Number one, it has to do with the fact that a marriage relationship, you can show honor and love to one another in these ways. But the other is, when you look at this and you see how Jesus has demonstrated his love for us, all five of these are found very clearly, words of affirmation. All throughout the scripture, he's talking about how he loves us and what he has done for us and how much we mean to him.
That is beautiful.
Acts of service. He comes and he lives for us and then dies for us and rises for us, receiving gifts. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Quality time. He literally spends through the Holy Spirit all of his time with us. And one of the things you see over and over in the scripture is the physical touch that Jesus had with the people. So he reached down and he allowed the little children to crawl into his lap. He comes over and he touches the leper who would not be touched by anyone else. So Jesus knew these five love languages and expressed them clearly, beautifully, yes, throughout his entire ministry. And we see that true of not only the Son, but of the Father and the Holy Spirit as well.
Yeah, so if you're one of those people that you're saying, you know, I need these things met in my life, realize that someone has expressed their love for you in the way that meets your needs. He's multilingual, and that is our Lord. So I love, what a great way to wrap that up. I hadn't thought about that from the biblical perspective.
It's what I do.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
Hey, if you are listening to this right now and you think, man, I love this episode, can you do us a favor? Share this. Go on social media and share. Click on the link and share it on Facebook or on Twitter and subscribe to the podcast. That way you are updated every single time someone comes out.
Yeah, and if you want to connect with us further, then just like our Facebook page, you can comment there on The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. Give us ideas for things you'd like to hear on a podcast. We will be doing a marriage podcast coming up in a few weeks. So we'd love to hear your questions for that.
But for that, you'll have to email us at pastor@southernhillslv.com or
heather@southernhillslv.com.
Any questions that come in for the podcast, make sure you put in the subject line, The Bible Talks, and we will answer those questions on our next podcast. We look forward to hearing from you.
Our next podcast is going to be discussing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating because we're going to deal with the details and the timeline of the actual Passion Week and what led up to the crucifixion and the crucifixion itself. I think it'll be fascinating doctrinal discussion.
Thank you so much for listening. And remember,
when the Bible talks,
we better listen.